from the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience, because Purple mattresses are made with a GelFlex grid. The GelFlex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips, and support in others, like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the GelFlex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
It's a good thing baseballs already have stitches, because the way these ball players are hitting them, yeah, they'd need stitches if they didn't already have them. So the next time you're watching a poor little baseball smacked off the wall in center, keep that little fella in your thoughts. It's hard to be a baseball right now. Baseball is something else. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Me and my best friends will sit in the living room for 7 hours. I'll yell out an NFL player and somebody yell out what college he went to. 7 hours, that's all we do. I'm like, Brady Quinn. And somebody's like, yes!
Jeremy White.
Ryan Leaf.
Let's go!
And Joe DiBiase.
Eric Decker.
Let's go!
On WGR Sports Radio 550.
Good morning. Fired up. We came dressed to impress today for nobody to see.
Jeremy would
feel,
be really
I feel
proud.
Underdressed right now.
You
I'm just in khakis and a t-shirt. Well, you know, the final major of the year, you got to go all out.
That's what it's for. We're here
for just that.
Just we're dressed like we are because it's Major Thursday.
Although, here's how seriously I take now my golf fits. At least a little bit more seriously. I don't think I take it as seriously as Nate and Jeremy. But I have, what are these shorts? Periwinkle? Is that the color? Like periwinkle?
Stop. That's a made-up color.
I think that's a real color, right? Periwinkle? That's a color, right?
If it is, I just don't know what color.
All right, well, it's like purplish blue, kind of.
Wow. So, Joe, I like those pants. I had
these shorts. I'm like, I don't really think these match. I have one polo. I know they match. But I can't just have one polo for like the same fit every time. Like, let me see how this works. White and black on top. So I'm just testing it out.
You might have earned yourself an honorary membership, a temporary. You have your PGA Tour card for the remainder of the season with an opportunity for permanent stay.
I like won the last tournament of the year of the web.com tour, and now I'm getting my temporary card. The green carpet today.
That's
but
right.
By the way, Open Championship today. We'll talk with Brian Koziel, Jody Biasi, Nate Geary, Jeremy off till next week, training camp. Royal Troon. So if you were on the PGA, and I have not seen anybody yet out there, we're throwing it on here right now. It's Peacock. Peacock for the early start. So you gotta find Peacock. Open Championship fit, would that be different for you? Like drastically different than others? Like what you're wearing right now, would you leave? It's like a springy kind of polo, a little bit. Those azaleas on there or something.
Yeah, I would tell you that this fit is me and my partner. So it's our member. We've been talking. Your member guest at Tri County starts tomorrow. My member guest at Cloverbank starts today. It goes today, tomorrow, and Saturday. So today, this is my partner has a pink. or it has a navy blue with like pink little logos all over.
Okay.
Pink shorts. And then, so I was going to combat that with a navy blue vest, pink shirt, and brown shorts. That's, but I decided to change it up a little bit.
Say, that's not navy. That's like
this is like a navy with some pink and some green. And it's floral, it's floral. And then I've got the pink shorts.
And the vest is more like a baby blue.
So I would call it baby blue.
We're
with
learning
the baby
our
blue
colors
hat.
Here.
Yeah. Periwinkle. Josh is getting a crash course on how to dress on the golf course.
Yes.
Hey, listen, what do you mean? I know how to dress on a golf course.
As a homeowner now, I can tell you all about colors and the entire fraudulent market economy that is. We've made up 1,000 colors, and now you can debate between this very light shade of blue and this slightly lighter shade of blue.
Eggshell opposed to cream.
Ah, yes.
But you would not wear that if you were playing a Royal Troon today, I bet. Right? That's not a Scottish.
No.
That's not a, you're not wearing that in Scotland.
I don't think so. No, I do have.
You're wearing grays.
I do have a tiger sweater, though. I have one of those, like, really
the
nice cashmere.
Sunday Red brand?
No. That would be a $300 sweater. However, I do have some Sunday.
Was it that much?
Yeah, I think so. I do have some Sunday Red on its way. That's going to arrive tomorrow. Hopefully, or today, I should say, in time for me to wear tomorrow. You won't be here to see my fit. I will take a picture, though, of my fit because it's going
to
be.
You'll have to tweet it out. You'll have to tweet it out. All right. Well, we'll keep track of the fits at the Open Championship. John Daly's playing today. I'm sure that'll stir headlines. And, of course, we got to see what Jason Day's got rocking for Scotland. I can only imagine. He's going to be wearing a kilt today, isn't he? Jason Day? He's going to be doing something. He's going to wear a race car jacket the last major.
He's going to do something weird. And first of all, love JT in the lead here, by the way.
4 under through 11. Yeah, how about that? It's 6:08 morning if you're up. It's 6:08 and look, there's Thomas through 11.
Alex Noren
Hogard
almost
through 13.
Done.
Yeah, he's on 18. Alex Noren, who is currently in fifth place, is on 18. So this is well underway. Rahm is, I think, on the back nine. I saw, like, not everybody's teed off yet.
So
there's still a lot to go. But
I filled out a pool, and I was buying shares, and I told anybody that would listen yesterday at work. Russell Henley, buy him.
Russell Henley.
Russell Henley has been playing very good golf this year, and he has been in contention at every major. He's been, I think he's got top 15 finishes in every major so far this year.
Yeah.
He's got a bunch of top fives in the marquee events.
Okay.
Buy your Russell Henley chips right now.
I don't know what I'm doing going into this tournament. We'll talk Bills today. We'll have, as I mentioned, Brian Koziel on at 6:30. We are going to have at 9:30. Listen to this. Kyle Brandt is going to be on the show coming up at 9:30. I don't know what his energy level is going to be on television. Many a times he is like a wrestling character on NFL Network. So we'll see. Is he going to come through the doors at 9:30 or through the phone, like ready to jump through tables?
Doors.
Yeah, I don't know what we're going to get, but that'll be fun. Kyle Brandt coming up at 9:30, so we'll talk some Bills today. I've got one Sabres question for Nate also, maybe in a little bit of a shorter segment at some point. But I don't know what I'm doing going into this tournament that's already began and is on the back nine for many. I feel like I've completely lost my allegiances from like a year ago or 2 years ago when all the Liv stuff was breaking down. Even before that, wasn't Bryson DeChambeau the jerk of the tour? Wasn't he Shooter McGavin? You know, when he had the, what would you call that hat he used to wear? It's not like a French hat. Like, it's not a beanie. What is it? You know what DeChambeau used to wear?
You're talking about the Irish lad hats?
The Irish lad hats.
By the way, I just made that up.
It sounds right, though.
It sounded, I said it with
Stewart
conviction.
Hat. Yeah, the Payne Stewart hat.
I like that better.
There you go, the Payne Stewart hat. When he used to wear that, he showed up that 1 year on tour, jacked. Like, he put on like 50 pounds of muscle between PGA seasons.
He was a
and
thick boy.
He was yelling at anthills, and he was throwing rope ladders to the ground, and he was getting mad at officials, and then him and Koepka started their feud and were hating each
fake
other.
Fake feud, by the way. Fake feud.
You thought it was the whole time?
It was fake the whole time.
The whole time you think it was fake?
Yeah.
All right. But he was the jerk.
I agree with you, though. Yeah.
He was unlikable. He was the villain of golf. And I've gone into this tournament and I'm rooting for him. Like, he's the guy I want to see win right now. And maybe that's just because I've been binge-watching his YouTube channel, which is really good, by the way. But I feel like he's become a lot more likable. And on the flip end, I don't have any problem with him personally, or there's no real reason that I dislike Rory McIlroy, but I kind of want to see this continue. I kind of want the streak. I want the wonder and the story of why can't this dude win a freaking major, despite the fact that he is the best score to par at majors in the last 10 years.
He has the lowest handicap in golf.
In golf. Like,
ahead of Scottie Scheffler.
Why can't this dude win a major? I kind of don't want that story to end.
Why can't he win, really, period? The only win he has this year is the... Well, he does have an individual
win. Did he win the Memorial? No, that was Scheffler, too.
Yeah, no, he won the team event in TPC New Orleans. Or
that's right.
TPC, whatever. I don't disagree with you about how interesting, like, the storylines and how the paradigm has shifted, in golf. And I would agree with you that I've really done a 180 on Bryson myself. I don't necessarily find myself, like, walking into this tournament or any tournament and saying, I'm out here and I'm all in on Bryson.
Yeah.
Bryson makes the game more fun and I enjoy watching him. This is not the tournament I think Scottie Scheffler is going to dominate. I know people are going to look at this season and say, if Scottie doesn't win two majors with how dominant he had been, it's going to be kind of a disappointing season for him, which is crazy to say, but I think is probably right if he doesn't win two majors. But
it would be tougher to call it one of the great PGA seasons of all time, right?
You wouldn't really be able to call it that.
That really is what's on the line today.
Yeah.
If he wins a second major in addition to all the other wins, because just in terms of total wins, it is historic. But no one's going to want to call it that if he doesn't win a second major. That's what's on the line for him. If he wants to go down in history as having one of the greatest golf seasons we've ever seen, you know, and have it actually be mentioned, have it be remembered that way, then Scheffler's got to win this tournament, I think. And I don't know if he's actually teed off. Scheffler tees off at 10-10.
Yeah, so there's a couple of things to this, Joe, which is a year ago, Jon Rahm was the best player in the world, right?
Yes.
I mean, after the Masters, Jon Rahm was the best player in the world.
Maybe at the least, it was like him and Scheffler neck and neck.
And he has absolutely not just fallen off the map play-wise. I mean, he's about to birdie here. He's going to be even par. He hasn't been in contention in any of the three majors earlier this year.
Yeah.
He has largely been seen on camera.
I don't know what he's done in LIV also either. Like,
he's done nothing in LIV.
The only thing I've seen, and I do not watch LIV at all, but just through Twitter, the only time I've ever seen Rahm and like anything that he's done in LIV is that he tried to take down a drone because he was annoyed with it or something. Like, I haven't seen anything about what he's done on the course.
Brandel Chamblee,
he really is he's disappeared the last year.
And anytime you see him on camera, he's flipping out.
Yeah.
And he seems irritated, agitated, does not seem locked in and playing good golf right now at the moment. And I mentioned he was going to birdie this hole, and he just missed a five-footer for birdie.
Yeah.
So he's plus one as it stands. Has not really been the same player since moving to LIV. And I know, listen, everybody, Brandel Chamblee, everybody knows he hates LIV. But he said yesterday, you know, LIV's a part-time job. And you can tell right now that Bryson is... Bryson also hasn't really been contending in LIV tournaments either.
No, but he's the majors this year.
He's shown up, and he's using LIV as you know, essentially practice to get himself into position where right now Jon Rahm just has not been the same. And listen, Spieth and Thomas will always be my favorite players. Specifically, Jordan Spieth. Jordan Spieth is my favorite golfer.
Really?
I don't know that I've
ever met anybody that said Jordan Spieth is their favorite golfer.
He's my favorite golfer, and JT's really close behind, obviously, other than Tiger. And I'm a big Rory fan. But I have found myself, Joe, this year more than any, gravitating towards a field that is starting to generate more middle to high middle caliber players.
Yeah.
That is what I think, to me, the Tiger Woods era of the late 90s and then early 2000s and then, you know, the 2010s.
Yeah.
it really, until Jordan Spieth came around and started dominating in early, 2014, there had largely been this void of middle level talent in the PGA, and there was 5, 6, 7, 10 players, and that was kind of it. There's 50 right now. There are more middle ground talent in the PGA Tour than there ever has been. I was mentioning Russell Henley earlier, right? Like guys like that. We've got, you know, Robert McIntyre, right? Who wins last week at the Scottish Open. He's got 2 PGA Tour wins, is back home in Scotland. Talk about an electric fact. I mean, at the Scott Fish Bowl on Sunday, he hits that putt and the whole fatty beer at the World Series just absolutely blows up.
That was
like,
pretty wild.
It is, like, and we're just watching a guy that most people probably didn't know his name to start the season.
Yeah.
And I think that's what I've enjoyed most about this season over previous seasons is we're really starting to see, because of LIV, we're seeing an infusion of, and if you've listened to people talk about the DP World Tour and then some of the feeder tours, like Robert McIntyre was on the DP World Tour.
Right.
This is a guy that qualified for events at the PGA Tour level through the DP World Tour, and is a product of the amateur game, right? I mean, he was an amateur in Scotland and did the European Tour and then went the DP World Tour and then, you know, got an exemption and has made the most of his PGA Tour opportunity. The Canadians, right? Mac Hughes and Nick Taylor, who's won events this year and last year, won the Canadian Open last year, which was awesome. Adam Hadwick. So there just is more guys to root for than there ever has been. As much as people want to talk about how golf is not in a good place because the best players in the world are split up and you're not seeing the best every week, there still has been plenty of compelling golf. There's been great tournaments. And I think that there is more relatable players, especially if you're an amateur golfer, you and I, people that are better than you and I that are like, hey, these guys are real dudes that have grinded their ass off. Robert McIntyre, right? I mean, watching him have his dad on his bag at the RBC winning and him literally deciding not to do a elevated event the next week so he could go home and party and drink from the trophy with his friends is about as relatable as anything could possibly be in golf.
Yeah. Is this the third major for you? Is this your third favorite? Does it have to be? It can't be first, right?
I would say it's my second favorite.
I think it's my second favorite, too. Masters is number one.
Masters is number one, and it's because Augusta is Augusta.
Yep. And it's the first major of the year. Season.
Yep.
And it kind of kicks off, I mean, just because we live in Buffalo, you know.
It kicks off our golf season.
Yep. I might not feel the same way about that, obviously, if I lived in North Carolina, South Carolina, and my golf season started a month before the Masters. But April Masters, it's like, okay, let's go. And it's Augusta. And then I think it's this. Love it's just so different, right? The pot bunkers that you're going to get this week and how wide open it is. Like, Rahm just hit a bad drive into the right rough that he's – what on every other course in a tournament in the tournament calendar would you see the result be from that drive? He'd be hitting out of the trees.
Yes,
he'd be hitting out of the trees. And here it's okay. Go venture into the deepest grass you've ever seen in your life, or the heather, and try to dig it out of there. Guys putting from 50 yards off the green because it's so hilly and you're able to get it up there. I mean, links golf is just to me so cool.
It is,
and it's different. And it's on in the mornings, which I do appreciate.
And you get to see it twice
also.
A year. You see it twice a year. You see it at the Scottish Open, and then you see it here the next week at the British Open.
Yeah, and for a lot of casual fans, like, this is the only time you see it.
Right. And
Scottish Open also didn't really even used to be, was it even nationally televised before, like, a couple years ago?
Yeah, it's become a bigger tournament because it's the
Everyone
warm-up.
Everyone goes to it.
It's the warm-up, too.
Yeah.
And here's what I'll say, too, about why I think the Open is my second favorite major is there's something about having a tournament at the same place every year, like with the Masters and Augusta, like there's that prestige to it. Obviously, the Open's not played at the same place every year, but it's played at a very unique style of course every year, like Troon and,
St. Andrews is not quite every year, but it's every, is it every 4 years they play at St. Andrews?
Just
like
about.
It's regular that they go back to St. Andrews.
Carnoustie and like all these great.
Yeah, it's kind of a rotation of like eight courses maybe.
Well, I think I don't know it's if I played have that right. Between England, Royal St. George's hosts it, England,
Ireland,
Scotland. That's really where the open is. Yeah. Yeah, Muirfield Village, right. So, like, I think it's the reason that it makes it unique is the style of course is so unique that at each course it's played with at the Open, you get this very specific look, feel, style of play, conditions that are in play more than any other major. So I think between Augusta and the Open, to me, I think it's really a far I think it's a far stretch between that. And then I like the PGA. I think the PGA and the U.S. Open are pretty similar to me, or it's become similar, where the PGA has now become how difficult can we make conditions on the golf course for these guys? And that has sort of been the MO for the U.S. Open, but I think the PGA has gotten there too.
803-0550 is the phone number. We're talking some Open Championship to open today's show. We are less than a week away from Bills training camp. We'll talk some football too. 803-0550, get connected with our fans, brought to you by Northtown Kia. Shop online at northtownkia.com. Paul in Buffalo. What's up, Paul?
Hey, good morning, guys. You know me, I'm eagerly awaiting hockey season, but I do enjoy watching the majors. For me, a guy who I used to root for, but it's just become so hard to root for him, though I think he is probably the most likable guy on tour, is Ricky Fowler. I'd love to see him win a major, but I have almost no hope he's going to. Do you think he ever gets a Sergio Garcia moment and you know, gets a Masters or an Open or something? He just, I'd love for him to win, but I have very little hope he will. What do you guys think? Thank you.
Thanks, Paul. I, like you, am a giant Ricky Fowler fan, and I would love to see him do it, but I mean, he had a little bit of a resurgence, last year? But I don't know. Don't you kind of feel like his chance probably already came and went? Last year, he was fifth at the U.S. Open last year. And that was really only his second top 10 at a major in the last 5 years. I mean, he rattled off, look at 2014 for Fowler. In his four majors, he went Masters tied for fifth, U.S. Open tied for second, Open Championship tied for second, PGA Championship tied for third. He went fifth, second, third in 1 year. And then 2 years later, a fifth and a fifth and a second. But he's 35 now, and his form doesn't appear to be the same as it was, and I think the field has gotten better. So, it'd be cool. It'd be a great story, but I'm not holding my breath that Fowler is going to get his major. I think there's a very, very good chance he's not going to win one.
He had that moment last year where he got himself on the Ryder Cup team by playing, having two months of really solid play was a captain's pick. Shouldn't have been. Loved Ricky. Keegan Bradley should have been that
was
captain's pick.
He was on the team?
Oh, yeah.
I thought he was just under consideration.
No. He made the Ryder Cup team last year. And as a devout Ricky Fowler fan, terrible decision.
He's not at the same level that he was 5 years ago.
No, but again, he had this little moment last year. I forget what tournament he won, where it was like his breakthrough, right? He finally won again.
He won at the Rocket Mortgage Classic. It was his first win in 4 years.
Yep. And man, how easy is he to root for? But I would agree. I think it was Paul the caller that mentioned he'd love to see it. Same. And I think I agree with your take that it's likely just something that I don't see happening.
Who would you least like to see win this tournament? Normally it's Adam Scott because of the disgusting fits, but is he okay today?
Yeah, he's fine.
He has two. The tweet you retweeted. He's wearing two different colors, so he might actually win.
He might win
because normally he'll wear like two. He's the paint color guy. Two different shades of beige. Adam Scott on the tee. Patrick Reed is always this, right? Someone that's easy to root against.
Easy to say Patrick Reed. I think that's a bailout. That's easy.
I think the live
Tyrrell Hatton.
Reason to root against though.
I'm not a Tyrrell Hatton fan.
Yeah, Tyrrell Hatton is good for this. That storyline though to me is kind of dead.
Like, oh wow!
It sucks
JT
that they
must
exist.
Wait. Is this a replay or did JT double?
Justin Thomas, I believe, just doubled. Yeah. Yep, he did. He just doubled on 12. Oof. The par 4, 12. All right, Open Championship is underway. Alex Noren, now your leader, tied with Justin Thomas and also Justin Rose. We'll talk some golf coming up next with Brian Koziel. He'll give us his layout of this tournament, a little bit more in-depth on a couple of the different golfers, and also Tiger, and if he's even going to make it. this week. So we'll get into that. We'll get some football in, of course, as well, as we are under 1 week away from Bills training camp. The Chiefs are already at camp. And I got a question for you, Nate, about Xavier Worthy, because he, as Josh mentioned in the update, has already been dealing with a hamstring injury this offseason. He should be okay for camp. But I got a Worthy question to get to, who the Bills traded the pick of to Kansas City. Open championship talk next. Brian Koziel will join us, and Kyle Brandt a little bit later in the show at 9:30. So we'll have a fun one for you today here on WGR.
It's a good thing baseballs already have stitches, because the way these ball players are hitting them, yeah, they need stitches if they didn't already have them. So the next time you're watching a poor little baseball smacked off the wall in center, keep that little fella in your thoughts. It's hard to be a baseball right now. Baseball is something else. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
You sit in traffic now, but later, there's an ice cold reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter. You've earned this rich golden lager with a crisp, refreshing taste. Because you know, all your patience is paid out in gold. You remain calm through honks, bumper to bumper, and people yelling.
Come on, move!
You are a fighter, and Modelo is your reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience, because Purple mattresses are made with a GelFlex grid. The GelFlex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips, and support in others, like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the GelFlex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex Grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
Oh, well, as a past champion, I'm exempt until I'm 60. Collins not. He's not a past champion, so he's not exempt. So he doesn't get the opportunity to make that decision. I do.
Fire from Tiger Woods there. Clapping back at Colin Montgomery, who was very critical of Tiger still being out here playing.
And then Tiger said, kiss the ring.
Pretty much.
Kind of like it.
And he somehow did a kiss the ring insult and an old joke in the same breath. Because Colin Montgomery's over
60. Go off, King. He is.
I also did not know until this whole spat happened that Montgomery had not won a major.
Yeah.
I had... Brian, here's my memory maybe letting me down a little bit. Because, one, I was a child. Not because I'm old now, but because I was a child. But I thought, Brian, that Montgomery won the U.S. Open when Mickelson hit driver at Wingfoot, but maybe he was just in contention and somebody else won that tournament?
That's correct. Yeah, at 06 at Wingfoot, Montgomery actually had a chance to win if he would have parred 18. He was right in the mix to win.
Okay.
And ended up bogeying, and Jeff Ogilvie ended up sliding in to win. He kind of was just sitting in the clubhouse watching Mickelson collapse and watching Montgomery bogey the final hole. So that was his best chance to win a major. But yeah, I mean, what a silly thing for Montgomery to say. I know now he's an analyst, and obviously, you know, you give your opinions as talk show hosts and analysts do. But like, Tiger Woods is probably the greatest golfer ever, and He's done so much for the game. I feel like if you wanted to say, like, hey, Tiger doesn't look like he's enjoying himself that much. I wonder, you know, if he feels like he wants to do this anymore. Or, like, there could have been a really better way to word this than basically just saying you should retire. Like, that, I thought that was kind of a silly comment for a guy that doesn't even have anywhere near the resume that Tiger does.
Yeah, absolutely. Tiger, by the way, will tee off at 9:37 this morning with Patrick Cantlay and Xander Schauffele. So he'll get off in
stinger season, baby. Can't wait to see the stingers today.
The stingers. Yeah. We'll talk a little Tiger here, Brian. Brian Koziel on the Western Hotline. Tee to green, 2 hours this Saturday. Duster Challenge on Friday. Open Championship, Porter Cup. Did I miss anything? I feel like you had a really busy week.
Yeah, it's good. I got a lot of golf coming away. I'm excited for this. Yeah, we're going to be on for 2 hours. I know you were up at Media Day last week for the Porter Cup. They just got going yesterday with the first round. And I guess since we're talking about it here quick, I can let everybody know today they're going to have tee time starting at 8 a.m. So if people want to go watch the Porter Cup the next couple of days, Thursday, Friday, Saturday, they still have round 2, 3, 4. It's 8 a.m. each day. Real quick, Chase Nevins at -8.
62
yesterday. He's winning the men's Porter Cup, and Amelie Fung from Forest Hills, New York, is winning the women's. She shot a 65. So round two is today. If you want to follow the leaderboard at all, our Tee to Green page has the our last tweet has the leaderboard there, but it's these next 3 days up there. And you mentioned Tiger. Tiger played at the Porter Cup. The one stat that I was really blown away with at Media Day, that they said 93 players that are currently playing either on the PGA Tour, the LIV Tour, or the LPGA Tour have played in the Porter Cup, and 68 majors won. So, I mean, that's a really impressive set of players that have come through Niagara Falls Country Club.
Yeah, and Tiger had a hole-in-one on the 12th hole there, and every time I step to that tee box, it's, please let the, if I'm ever going to hit a hole-in-one,
this is the hole.
Please let it be on the same hole that Tiger Woods. Because how many times, I mean, sure, maybe a couple, right? Like, I'll try to play Pinehurst, I'm sure, in my life, and I would like to play St. Andrews at some point as well. So maybe there'll be a couple, but how many chances do you get? How many hole-in-ones does Tiger even have? You'd have to play TPC Phoenix, I guess, right? To have a chance to do it at the same hole he has. He probably has more than that, right?
Probably. But you're right. How many opportunities do you have the chance to do it on the same hole? Not that many, probably, in your life. So,
Yep,
every time you get to play number 12 at Niagara Falls, try to make it, then the story is amazing then. Yeah, me and Tiger, we both had a hole-in-one there.
Same hole. 62, yep. 65, by the way. Just a little bit better than what I shot last week at Niagara Falls Country Club. So Porter Cup this week, 2-hour tee to green on Saturday from the Porter Cup. And they'll, of course, be talking plenty of Open Championship. So early on, you texted me yesterday, Brian, asking, like, who's my pick for this tournament? And I told you, like, it's not even really based in anything logical. I mean, he has played great in majors this year, but I've been more and more infatuated with DeChambeau as this Bryson DeChambeau as this year's gone on. I think he's getting more and more likable. I've been binge watching his YouTube channel, which is great and it's super fun. But I did just see from Justin Ray some stats on DeChambeau.
He struggles.
This is his worst major.
Yeah.
Strokes gained, at least. Like, it's his worst major. And he's now 5 over through 6. So I guess that's it for him. But what have you seen out there early on, knowing that a lot of the field hasn't, you know, taken part yet?
It's playing pretty hard. I mean, the guys that are made, I mean, there's birdies to be made, but it seems like
there's also doubles, right, Brian. Back. There's doubles to be made.
Yeah. I mean, Justin Thomas, just a few holes that I've watched of him this morning. You know, he looks good, and then he just missed like a 3-footer for a double bogey. He had a 2-shot lead, and all of a sudden he's dropped back into that group at -2. There's a lot of trouble out there. And here's the thing, too. Even when you hit a great shot, sometimes because of just this is, you know, the quirkiness of the Open, you can hit a little like nub in the fairway, and it'll roll in one of those pot bunkers, and then bang, you just throw up double bogey, and you really didn't do anything wrong. It just, that's what happened. Or, because the gorse fescue grass is not that far off the fairway, a lot of this can kind of, it can, in some sense, play like Pinehurst in the sense that, like, you roll the dice. Okay, I only missed the fairway by 10 yards, but what am I going to walk up to? Am I going to walk up to something that maybe is almost a perfect lie, or am I going to walk up to something that I'm going to have to hit out sideways? So I think, you know, obviously, through the course of 72 holes, you may end up with a bad luck here or there, or you may end up with a good luck here or there. I am surprised that DeChambeau is struggling. It looks like he's all over the place. It is a little tougher maybe in this venue to, like, overpower it because of that fact. You just get random bounces and random lies, but he's struggling around the green right now too, which is something that he's really, really cleaned up over this season, which is why he's been in contention to win the other three majors.
Brian, I know Joe was kind of talking about, you know, Bryson and being a guy that he's looking at and maybe winning this tournament. I'm in a couple of, pick a couple of golfer tournaments, these pools. And I think I've bought Russell Henley stock. Frankly, I've been buying Russell Henley stock all year. Not necessarily a household name amongst people that maybe are casual PGA Tour fans, but has been in contention in a lot of the major tournaments this year, a lot of those marquee events. Any other names to you that, like, hey, listen, it's easy to say it's going to be, you know, Bryson or, you know, Scotty, that, like, one of these guys at the very top of their game that are going to be in contention here. Any other names to you that maybe aren't the household top two, top five players in the world, that you could see this type of course, this type of, these types of conditions that it might really favor? Because the rain and the wind does not favor everybody.
True. Now, you look at, you could throw out Henley. I mean, he's currently 20th in the world. Well, last year when Brian Harman won, he was, I believe, 28th in the world. So, you're right. It might not be like a household name, but it would make sense if he won this week. You're like, well, you know, when does a guy win his first major? Well, it can be right around when they're, you know, ranked in that spot. And, you know, you've kind of had really nice consistency over years in the PGA Tour. Henley could fit that model. I think because he's kind of got some charisma to him that maybe people know him a little bit more, but a guy that hasn't won a ton yet, but I feel like has all the tools to win, is Sahith Tagawa. This past week, he played well at the Scottish Open, but one thing that maybe people say that he's best known for is his creativity and his ability to hit a whole bunch of different shots, and you have to do that at the Open Championship a whole bunch of different ways. I was also looking at a stat I thought that was interesting yesterday that showed, like, over the last 5 years, this is how crazy stats are now, too. We know we see it in baseball and everything, but shot trajectory. And over the last 5 years, there was a couple of guys that say that they bring it in and hit it as low as anybody. So if the wind whips up, who can do that? Well, I saw that Aaron Rye, who's been playing really well these last few weeks on tour, 3 top 10 finishes these last 3 weeks. He's like second. And then Tagawa is also in that top 15 area in terms of shaping the ball, working the ball. No surprise, other guys like Morikawa, Scheffler, they are able to do that as well. So guys that maybe have the ability to be super creative. I think that was Phil Mickelson's problem forever at the Open Championship, is that he wanted to play, you know, what probably people would describe as American golf. You know, drive it as far as you can and then hit it as high as you can, and it just, after a while, like, it didn't work. You have to have different types of shots. You got to be able to hit it low. You got to be able to shape it right, shape it left, bump and run, all these sort of things. So guys with creativity. So I'll throw Tagawa into that mix, maybe kind of to go along with your Henley idea.
Brian, what about Rory for this tournament? Is it not, like, the most pressure? Maybe not, but just because of what happened at Pinehurst and the fact that he hasn't really played much since then, and it being the Open, right? Like, I know it's not his home town, but it's, you know, his home country, if you will. I know it's a different island. But McIlroy being in contention, like, the story that this could be this week, if he's in it late, man, like, everyone, I'm sure, will be on edge if he is, you know, a couple of shots back or in the lead on Sunday.
Yeah, I mean, For what Scottie Scheffler has done this season, and then he's won 6 times already, won a major and a Players' Championship and 3 elevated events, and the fact that we're actually comparing him to the year that Tiger Woods had in 2000 is, you know, unbelievable. And I was on Rochester Radio, and they were asking me about the best story, and we were debating that if Scheffler won, that it still wouldn't be the best story. We said McIlroy winning would be the best story. You know, obviously Tiger winning, you know, I guess, you know, throw that out there. But realistically, like, McIlroy winning would be the better story, in the sense that what just happened at the U.S. Open, the heartbreak that he's had, the fact that he knows he's going to be asked every single major about not winning a major until it's actually done, because now it's been a decade plus. For him to overcome that, to me, because he's shown, he's been so open with us in terms of how he's feeling. We all love it, I think, when athletes take us inside what they're thinking. Why do we, what's one thing that we enjoy about sports? Well, we enjoy their skill. You know, we're awed by how they're able to do their sport at the highest level. But I think also, too, like, give me some mental insight in terms of, like, how you do it. And I think with McIlroy, he's always been so open with that I love hearing that, even when it means, like, opening up negatively in terms of, like, disappointment or heartbreak or things like that. So how he handled leaving the U.S. Open, how he just left, like, you know, we people are judging, was that a good move, was that a bad move? Like, just there's all that layered in. I love how he's been always so outspoken about the PGA Tour versus LIV thing. I know he's probably softened a little bit on that stance, but he's always been a guy that I find super interesting. So if he's able to come down the stretch and have that, and like, hey, how does he handle the pressure one more time in a major that he always said is his favorite one and is most meaningful because of where he comes from, like you said, that would just be an incredible storyline.
You know, I wanted to just follow up on something about Rory, Brian, to you. And I was listening to Brandel Chamblee, like, I don't know, Monday during, you know, one of the PGA Tour, you know, at the Open sort of pre-round, pre-tournament shows, and was talking about Rory and, like, it's not that it's not there for Rory. It's not like the game isn't there, because he still is. I mean, strokes gained, he's one of the best players off the tee in the world. He's been one of the best iron players, at least this year. And he's good enough on the greens to win. Brandel Chamblee had mentioned something about, like, maybe there's too much going on inside, in between the ears, right? Like, he's got a lot of people on his team, and he's thinking about, like, it back in 2014 when there was this sort of void, the post Tiger Woods world that he filled, right? Him and Spieth sort of filled this void, and he felt like there wasn't as many people around him talking about, you know, what's going wrong, why can't you finish, and do you think this, more than anything, is a mental hurdle that until he can get there and do it, it just gets worse and worse for him? Like, is this truly maybe all mental for Rory?
I think a lot of it is. I mean, and here's why. Nate, it's not like he hasn't been playing good golf in between majors. I mean, he's won a ton. I mean, we talk about guys that have had droughts. Like, well, they go away or they disappear or they're struggling. I don't really think Rory's struggling. Like, how many times here in the last 5-6 years has he had a chance to win a major? I feel like it's almost every one. So it's not like he's not playing well. And even in the non-majors, he's winning. Like, he's won multiple times. He's kept himself in the top five in the world this entire stretch. He's, you know, won, like, DP World Player of the Year with all the points rankings, even if he doesn't even play in a lot of these events. He's won FedEx Cup titles in between there on the PGA Tour. He's still dominant at the Ryder Cup, which is a high-pressure, valued, you know, event for him as a European player. So, It has to be something just upstairs that changes for him in majors, because it's not like he's not physically performing elsewhere. It's not like he can't find his golf game, because he's doing it everywhere else. And in the majors, I would say still, like, he's playing great. It's just like that final hurdle. He just has a stumbling block to get over, and you're right. It's going to be there until he can figure out a way to overcome it. I thought it was interesting. This week he was talking about how he asked Tiger. Like, he said, look, he goes, I felt this. He used the word discomfort. You know, we could probably all think of another word that would go with that in terms of just dealing with pressure. He goes, I felt discomfort in those final holes at the U.S. Open at Pinehurst. And he asked Tiger, did he ever feel that? And it was weird. I thought Tiger might say, nope, like, you know, I'm focused. I'm, you know, he goes, yeah, a ton. And then Tiger referenced Michael Jordan saying, like, look, how many game-winning shots has Michael Jordan taken and made? He goes, but he's also missed a lot too. But he said, like, you want to set yourself up to be in that moment so that you can have that success. Because he goes, when you do succeed, he goes, it's the best feeling in the world as an athlete. So I think for Rory, maybe he's got to take a more positive approach about embracing that moment, or maybe thinking about what Tiger said about Michael Jordan, of like, hey, keep taking those game-winning shots because it's going to go in at some point.
Last thing for you, Brian. Last major of the year. Do you think Scheffler needs to win it to be considered one of the greatest golf seasons of all time?
Good question.
I just wonder if the second major is necessary for that. Just cause it's six wins. Like, I bet statistically, like, if you really broke it down, you would get to, this is an incredible historic year that he's had. But if you don't win a second major, I just wonder if it's going to be remembered that way.
I guess straight up, to compare to the years, the great years that Tiger has had, I guess the recent ones that we could probably fairly compare to, then probably you'd want to say yes. Because Tiger's had those years where he's won three majors, where he's won two majors. So to only have one, I mean, the Players' Championship is a very, very second impressive right. thing to have on your resume.
Yep.
All the other events he's won have been elevated. I mean, maybe, you know, does he go through the three rounds of the FedEx Cup playoffs and win two of the three and win that title? Like, could that make up for it? Maybe. Tiger didn't have those FedEx Cup playoffs for most of his, you know, outstanding years because it wasn't there at that point. Probably, you know, we would say yes at this point. I know I saw one point yesterday that I feel like is worth discussing. Like, is what Scheffler's doing now more impressive or less impressive because of comparing to Tiger? Well, when Tiger played, they're like, well, the fields weren't as deep as they are now. Like, you know, they're like, the 100th player in the world is much better than the 50th player in the world was 25 years ago. And, you know, they were thanking Tiger for that. They're like, so many players have been inspired by Tiger. But then somebody said, well, is LIV golf something to factor in? Like, have you lost a dozen or so players that are possibly on Scheffler's level that have left, that don't play in all these other elevated events? Now, you could throw that in too, that maybe, is it watered down at all? I don't know. I wouldn't say yes. I still think the PGA Tour is about as deep as it ever has. So I guess in the end, I'm circling around your question here.
Yeah, yeah.
I guess if he wins it, it is right there with some of the best seasons ever. If he loses it, or if he's in contention and he doesn't, I still think it's worth considering to at least maybe be one of the best since Tiger.
Brian Koziol and Tee to Green on Saturday morning from Niagara Falls Country Club at the Porter Cup, and lots of Open Championship coverage. Duster Challenge on Friday at Glen Oak. That'll be fun. So appreciate the time, Brian, and we got to run, but we'll talk soon.
Okay, guys, thanks. Enjoy the golf today.
Quick timeout here. We'll come back, get you to the top of the hour. We've got one article being written by Doug Farrar about a certain Bill that he's calling one of the most underrated players in the NFL, and it's not a guy we've talked much about this offseason. We'll get that for you when we come back here on WGR. Quick in and out, get you to the top of the hour. 803-0550 if you want to get in. We talked lots of Open Championship this hour. Bryson DeChambeau is now 6-over. Royal Troon is eating him alive.
It ain't easy.
Great tournament. I love it. When we come back, who does Doug Farrar think is like one of the most underrated players in the league that's on the Bills? Also, more yelling and fighting about Josh Allen and the playoffs. That is driving me nuts. Courtesy of Nicholas Wright.
Nicholas
Wright. Of course.
Wright.
One of our favorites. We'll get into that when we come back.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience, because Purple mattresses are made with a GelFlex grid.
The GelFlex Grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips and support in others like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the GelFlex Grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex Grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
You sit in traffic now, but later, there's an ice cold reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter. You've earned this rich golden lager with a crisp, refreshing taste. Because you know, all your patience is paid out in gold. You remain calm through honks, bumper to bumper, and people yelling.
Come on, move!
You are a fighter, and Modelo is your reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
For the first time, U.S. subscribers can stream MLB Network 24/7, including select out-of-market games.
Swing and a drive. It's deep. It's gone. Yes.
Stream minor league affiliates.
Home run number one.
Portrait pick number one.
Plus, get MLB Big Inning and live audio for all 30 teams.
Baseball can't get better than this.
Experience the game like never before with MLB Network and At-Bat, your all-in-one baseball destination. Only $6.99 per month. Visit MLB.com/At-Bat for details. Blackout and other restrictions apply. MLB trademarks used with permission.
Quick in and out. Get you to the top of the hour. 803-0550 if you want to get in. We talked lots of Open Championship this hour. Bryson DeChambeau is now 6 over. Royal Troon is eating him alive.
It ain't easy.
Great tournament. I love it. When we come back, who does Doug Farrar think is like one of the most underrated players in the league that's on the Bills? Also, more yelling and fighting about Josh Allen and the playoffs. That is driving me nuts. Courtesy of Nicholas Wright.
Nicholas
Wright. Of course.
Wright.
One of our favorites. We'll get into that when we come back.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
For the first time, U.S. subscribers can stream MLB Network 24/7, including select out-of-market games.
Swing and a drive. It's deep. It's gone. Yes.
Stream minor league affiliates.
Home run number one.
Portrait pick number one.
Plus, get MLB Big Inning and live audio for all 30 teams.
Baseball can't get better than this.
Experience the game like never before with MLB Network and At-Bat, your all-in-one baseball destination. Only $6.99 per month. Visit MLB.com/At-Bat for details. Blackout and other restrictions apply. MLB trademarks used with permission.
In the fast-paced world of attacking, speed is everything. And that's where the Furon 7 Plus shines. Engineered for accuracy and precision at a rapid pace, it's your secret weapon on the pitch. Experience overall comfort and precise striking, even in the game's fastest moments. The nylon outsole with its V-shaped stud configuration is designed for firm ground, giving you the grip you need to outmaneuver your opponents. Step up your attacking game and learn more and purchase the Furon at newbalance.com.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly!
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.